Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
In many, many games is a perfect matchup for the way the game is played today. And Looney's been playing really well. He plays his role to perfection, doesn't try and go out of it. And as for Bogut, you know, Bogut not only is a guy that understands what they're doing there, but he's always been a really smart player. And he seems, you guys tell me, he seems like he's in the best shape that I've seen him in a long time. Even in his last few years in the NBA, he always kind of seemed to be banged up. He seems like he's in great shape. So, you know, as much as the Cousins things, I think, hurt them emotionally because, you know, you get vested in your teammate who worked so hard to come back, and I think that was a real mental blow for them during that game. I think they're going to be okay. I don't think it will hurt their championship aspirations. Other things might, like teams that are just hungrier and playing better at some point. You know, they can't afford to do this and play like this when they go in the second round, should they get there. And they still have to concentrate on getting out of this round as quickly as they can. But the Clippers have obviously shown them that, they're not going to go down without a fight.
And no question. I imagine that 31-point deficit was probably as more shocking than Buster Douglas mocking out Mike Tyson since we're there. But moving forward, when you're watching this Warrior team and just watching basketball in general, what intrigues you about it? Is it when you see a team that's so much more, is it more exciting when it's a blowout or when it's or just watching two teams go at it? What intrigues you more about just players itself that you love about the game?
Well, the thing that I've always loved about Golden State is, you know, they have three guys who could probably average 35 to 40 a night if they got the majority of the shots, if they played on other teams. And obviously talking about with Durant, Klay Thompson, and Curry. Yet they're so unselfish. They love to pass the ball as much as they love to score. Their number one goal is winning, not individual numbers. And lots of teams that have this kind of success and win titles, you know, you get that, the old Pat Riley phrase, the disease of me. Well, you get a little more selfish, and you know what? You want a little more of the piece of the pie yourself. They've never gone through that. They have always been a very unselfish team. They've always been a team that likes ball movement and takes as much joy out of an assist as they do a three-pointer. I think their problem this year has been, you know, it's just, and it's human nature, they're not as hungry as they were, and other teams are. You know, teams like Houston, teams like a Portland or a Denver, teams that have never been there that are desperate to get there. And I think that's been a big part of their ups and downs. I'm a firm believer in that. In you know, the hunger factor from year to year. That's why it's so hard to repeat. That's why it's so hard to do what Golden State has done the past several years.
The voice of the NBA on ABC and ESPN, Mike Breen, with us here on 95.7 The Game. You're calling the Portland, Oklahoma City game tonight. The Trailblazers enter Game 3 at Oklahoma City with a 2-0 lead. Damian Lillard has been outstanding so far in this series. I was making the case earlier, is he the most underrated superstar in the NBA?
Yeah, you know, in fact, I said that the other day, and we did Game 1 of the series, and I said that. And I had a friend of mine call me, "You're an idiot. He's not underrated. People know that he's great." But I agree with you. I think, you know, for a guy that made All-NBA first team last year, he doesn't get, I think, the proper due in terms of elite star players. And I think the main factor is because he hasn't advanced far in the playoffs. If he played in the conference final, if he played in the finals, more people would see him. And that's how we often equate greatness and how far you lead your team. And last year, too, he had a poor first round against New Orleans last year. They were the 3 seed, and they got swept. So he's out to prove himself. But he doesn't have to. You know, we talk about Curry and Kyrie Irving. To me, he's just as talented as those two. He just hasn't had the playoff success that those two have had. And I think it's great that fans around the country are seeing play so well in such big games.
One guy who has had a little bit of playoff success is Greg Popovich in San Antonio. Mike, are we all sleeping on the Spurs and just how dangerous they could potentially be in a Western Conference final?
We've been sleeping on the Spurs. I think it started about 8 years ago when people start saying, this is probably, they're probably on the decline. And then they get to another conference final or they win another title, with Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker now gone. And then Kawhi Leonard leaves as well. You're thinking, okay, it's rebuilding mode. It's truly a testament of not only Popovich's his greatness as a coach, but the organization in terms of building that culture and finding the players that might not be big names or might not be great individual talent, but they fit the way this team plays, the style that they play. They fit so perfectly. So the answer is yes. We always fall asleep on them, and every year we wind up saying, oh, boy, you just can't count out the Spurs, and we say it after the fact. So I'm in the same boat with you on that. I don't know. They still have a long ways to go in this series. But to me, in many ways, they've already overachieved this year. But let's not forget, they've got two legitimate star players, perennial all-star players in Aldridge and DeRozan. And now this kid, Derek White, is special. Maybe their best defensive player, one of the best defensive players in the league, is not even playing in DeJounte Murray. So they always seem to find those gems, guys.
And excluding the Warriors, in your opinion, who's some of the better teams in the West? Just to say, who's your best team besides, you say, the Warriors in the West? And then what do you look at when you're looking at this Eastern Conference? How do they look compared to the West, in your opinion?
Well, I still think Houston is the team that offers the greatest challenge to Golden State. They're playing as well as anybody. They are so motivated by their crushing way that the season ended for them. They're on the verge of getting to the finals, and then their all-star future Hall of Famer point guard gets hurt. Now, maybe Golden State still wins that series if Chris Paul plays, but they don't think so, and that's what drives them. So to me, there's no question Houston right now is the biggest threat to ending Golden State's reign. I've been a little surprised at how easily they've beaten Utah, but that's probably more of a factor of how well Houston's playing. So I'd put Houston them. As for the East, man, I have no idea who to pick. All four of those teams, Philly and Boston and Toronto and Milwaukee, they're all so equal. They all have such strengths, but they all have question marks right now, whether it's an injured player, whether it's chemistry issues, whether it's lack of inexperience in big playoff series. So I think the conference semifinals, if those four make it, it's going to be unbelievable. But, with the status of Embiid, Brooklyn still has a shot there. Indiana still has a shot there. So the East is really intriguing right now. To me, there's no team that has been the clear-cut favorite.
The voice of the NBA on ABC and ESPN. He'll be on the call for the Thunder Blazers Game 3 tonight in Oklahoma City. Mike Breen with us here on 95.7 The Game. Mike, we know you're busy. We really appreciate the time and insight. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Nice talking with you.
All right, we've got to set the line, and we're going to make our predictions before we talk with Gary St. Jean. When's the Claymaker game coming? Because you can feel it. We've talked about everything but Klay Thompson through the first three games of this series. The Claymaker game's on the horizon, but when are we going to get it? Everyone is going to be forced to make a prediction. No wishy-washy. No wishy-washy. Probably not the term I wanted to use there, but that aside, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full-service banking, no compromises. We're going to get organized.
Joe Lowendibs continues on 95.7 The Game.
Gary St. Jean set to join the show in 11 minutes at 8:30. We've got tickets to see Phil Collins at Shea Center that we are giving away at 8:45. We'll also have a conversation with the great Tim Roy at around 9:30. Joe Lowendibs, 95.7 The Game. Now, a couple reminders. First and foremost, Warrior playoff coverage on 95.7 The Game is presented by our friends at Great Clips, proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. And for those of you who are doing so, You can always hit us up on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. If Reza is listening, Reza was the lucky caller yesterday who was brought on to make the bet for Bet 162. He tried to hit me with a parlay. I threw him off the air, made my own wager, finally ended the losing streak with a win. We will update that at 945, but Reza's parlay ended up hitting as well. So we want to get Reza back on the show today. So if you know him, or you're listening, Reza, call us back. We're going to put you on at 945. We want to know what you think about tonight's game against the Giants. So very quietly, very stealthily, he pulled off the parlay.
Yes, he did, which was Washington to the under, I believe, of 7 or 7.5 runs. So Reza on a little bit of a heater. We want to have you on to apologize, yes, but also...
I didn't say that. I didn't say anything about apology.
I thought you did earlier today. I thought you were clear that you were going to apologize.
No apologies. I just want the pick, and then he'll probably be kicked right back off.
Gotcha. So, yeah, come on, Reza. Yeah. That's about as welcoming as we can be right there. Come on so we can mock you a second time. No, and... He's running hot. We want to get his pick for sure. Rez is on a heater, not unlike our very own Lorenzo Neal, apparently. On a bit of a heater.
Yeah, so. You going to five yards?
Oh, yeah.
The heater.
Sorry. He was talking about the, heater that I was talking about. I was on. He was talking about my picks. That's what he was talking about.
Yeah, but Joe is right about
still way late coming back.
Super late.
Segment, it has to be addressed. It doesn't need to be a big thing, but it has to be addressed, does it not?
It's just another delay a game, you know. He can't break the huddle on time, and by the time he gets to the line of scrimmage and he tries to get through his cadence, it's already been 40 seconds.
Well, do you think when he's in a read and he's doing stuff, he's promoting things, that's like the receiver's lined up in the wrong spot, so he's still moving, still going through his cadence, still going. So it actually wasn't a flag unless the play started. So I think that we should start kind of determining. If you have to come back with a read, you know what I'm saying?
Pretty good point.
Pretty good point.
I think it's a pretty good point. Okay. My counter to that would be, imagine trying to do your job and a rhinoceros runs right in front of you. You'd look up and go, why is there a rhinoceros running in front of you? When the rhinoceros should just be in
his
seat.
Is that the mating call of the rhino?
Like the other rhinos.
Does sound like it. It does.
Yeehaw!
Good morning, Anna.
Okay. Good. We haven't talked about it at all. Because there's been plenty of other storylines. Generally, a first-round matchup, we should kind of, you know, as arrogant as we've gotten here, myself at the front of that line, we just cruise through it. And the only storyline should be, when is this going to be over? When is this going to be over? Can we just wrap this up and get to business? But the Clippers have made it interesting. The Clippers have proven to be a formidable opponent by the way they've come out, they've taken a punch, and they fired back. KD's been a big story. The Game 2 blown lead has been a big story. What we have not been talking about is the... I don't want to say disappearance of Klay Thompson, but it's not as if Klay has made a major impact on this series yet. That's fine. You've got plenty of superstar talent. But last night, Klay, 5 of 11 for 12 points. In the series, he's 16 of 36. So he's shooting about 44%. He's 4 of 12 from deep, so he's below the season average there. He's averaging about 13 points per game. Now, again, you're scoring a ton of points offensively, so it's not as if he needs to explode. But you do have to think to yourself, in some of these games, you see him getting looks early. He's not knocking them down. Maybe he's a little frustrated. He goes through this. But I think most of us would agree that a Claymaker game is coming, right? It would not be an NBA playoff run without at least one Claymaker game. The question I have, and I want to put everyone to it, when is that game coming? Is it game 4 against the Clippers? Is it game 5 against the Clippers? Are you willing to extend the series and say game 6 against the Clippers? If not, we move on to the next round. Pick your team, pick your game. Or you can say it's never going to happen, and that's on the table as well.
Yes, I think the Claymaker game is coming, but it won't happen in this series because the Clippers are now broken. So you're not going to need, quote-unquote, Klay to have a Claymaker game. You're going to win game 4. You'll be focused in L.A. You come home in game 5. Back-to-back boatings. You won't need it. I think in the Houston series, you're going to find yourself with your hands full. You'll probably split the first two. You'll go to Houston. Everyone will start to talk about, uh-oh, is the Rockets team going to be good enough to beat them? Game 3 at Houston, Western Conference semifinals. That's when you get your Claymaker game. I don't have the exact date yet, I'm guessing somewhere late April, early May.
Game 3 at Houston. I like that very much. That's a Claymaker game for you, Lorenzo Neal. You have to make a prediction, and you do. What are you saying?
I think first I need some more details. When you say Claymaker game, what do you want him to score? Is it 25?
Don't look at it as a specific number. Okay. A Claymaker game can happen in a variety of ways. One is he just plays huge for 4 quarters, or maybe it's one of those 20-point quarters where he goes off a game where, by and large, we would come in the next morning and be like, dude, did you see Clay? Like, if you're on Twitter following the game, there goes Clay. Clay's going off. All the memes. Something like that.
Oh, so then it's...
You're not going to be held to a certain specific story standard.
Okay, okay.
I think that's, we all...
Yeah, maybe 6 threes in a quarter. He hit 14 threes in a game this year. Obviously, the 37-point quarter we won't ever see again.
Game
but,
6 against OKC. Things like that are Claymaker
games. Yeah, I could see this guy getting 15 and a quarter, and that's going to be the next game, Sunday. That he'll, you know.
Okay,
that,
so he goes off on Sunday.
Yeah, he will. He'll make it happen. He's going to make it rain. He's due, but you got his volume is not really that high of shooting. I think that this guy's going to get it going, and he's playing great on defense. And that's what happens when you got so many superstars. They're up by 31, and they end up losing. They were up the other day. They were up by 31 again yesterday.
Right.
And they won by 17 the first game. I mean. We're saying, think about where we're at. We like you started this whole conversation, Joe, like you started. You said, just because we can and we're it's Series 1 and we can say this because we're spoiled and we were used to seeing something great. So it's interesting that we're even having this conversation and with the way they've been, way they've been dominating. But to answer your question, Joe, he will have a quarter of 15 or more this next game.
Wow.
Okay. Anna?
So I'm saying it's not going to be in this series. I think they're going to have no problem with the rest of this series. I think it's going to happen game 5 against Houston. And I say that because in the beginning, he's going to be really focused on defense with Harden and everything. But I think the thing with Harden that we see is that he gets tired a little later. So we're going to see him get a little tired. And I think Clay will have the Claymaker that seals the deal for game 5. Finish that game out in Oakland.
That's going to be a marquee game, too. Mm-hmm. Game 5 against Houston. Maybe that ends it in 5, but that could be the proverbial 2-2.
Yeah.
Have to win this game. Have to win game 5. I'm with you. I think it's Sunday. I think the pressure's off now. You've established yourself as the better team through 3 games. It was just a blip, because if it wasn't a blip, the Clippers would have been in that game. Maybe they don't win it last night, but they're in it. So I think now with the pressure off, KD's done his thing. He's loose. He can distribute or shoot if he wants.
Steph's got his thing. He's got his 30s to 37.
Huge game 1. It just feels like we're going to go into this game Sunday. We're all going to be relaxed. It's going to go back and forth. And at some point, the Clippers maybe hang around a little bit more this time around in the early stages, which they haven't done at all. And then that's when he turns it on. Maybe at the beginning of the second, when he's out there running with the 2s. That could be the moment. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling it's coming this weekend. But I do like the idea. I don't like having to wait till game 5 against Houston. But if it happens there, you know you're in good shape. When has there ever been a Claymaker game where they've lost?
That's an interesting question.
Can you think of him ever going off in a game where they ended up coming up short? I'm sure there's one out there.
Right.
But by and large, Claymaker games are usually wins.
Well, the 37-point quarter was a win over the Kings and the playoff game at OKC. That's why I think it's going to happen on the road. He's one of those guys who tends to perform great on the road. So I think your Sunday prediction is pretty solid. But that's partly why I went with game 3. In Houston, he's a guy who's not deterred by a road environment, and maybe the comfort of him being in L.A., obviously grew up in L.A., and he's been rumored to go to L.A. this offseason. Maybe he wants to show out for the L.A. fans, and that's a good reason why you probably made that prediction.
Let me throw this one out there. I was thinking about this last night. It's never going to happen because no one's ever going to reduce games. We've already established that. Sports are not going to retract their schedules and give up money. So if... Strictly from a competition/entertainment standpoint, do you like the idea of the NBA going back to a 5-game series to open the first round? And before you answer, just, you know, look around right now. Do the Bucks really need to win 2 more against Detroit? Like, do we really need to extend that series? Some of the other series, the way they've played out, do we really need to push these series to see who the better team is? Do the Warriors really need 5 games to establish themselves as the better team?
Before you even went down there, I was exactly going to say no.
You like the idea of going back to a 5-game opening round?
Absolutely. And it should be. You're absolutely right, Joe. Now it's over. You see the Bucks, what they're doing. You don't need to have a 7-game series. It's too much. And I understand you talked about the money, but no. I think that it should go back to 5. It's not needed. 7's too much.
I agree with you, but there's another reason why it'll never go back, and that's because they want the favorites to advance. Usually you got the favorites with the more high-profile players, the more attractive players for TV. And if you have a best of 7, the better team is more likely to win a best of 7 because the fluke victory has less of an impact. And I think back to one of our top 10 Oracle moments, Sleepy Floyd is Superman. That came against the Lakers. Well, in the series previous, they fell behind 2-0 to the Utah Jazz, and they won 3 straight to win that series. You look at this Clipper series right now against the Warriors. If it was 2-1 in a best of five, all of a sudden the Clippers, hey, if they can get another fluky victory, they're right in this thing. We know that the Clippers aren't going to beat the Warriors four times. The idea of beating them three times is exponentially easier, and I think that's part of the reason why they don't do it.
I don't think so, because it's over. The thing about the Warriors, they're going to win Sunday, and that'd have been over, so that'd be three. So that now pretty much that series is darn near gone. So,
but I think the import of the next game, the Clippers trying to, quote, hold home court and force a decisive game five back in Oakland, the Clippers would feel like they were more in it in a best of five than a best of seven.
But don't that give you more excitement? That's the reason, all the reason more why that it should be five, for excitement reasons, because a lot of this game
The better
four-
team also gets the first two home games. So if they want the favorites to advance, which you're talking about, which I don't disagree with, they get those first two games. You end up winning those two. You just need one. You just need a split down there, and the series is done.
Right.
So it's almost as if you have more of a stacked deck. But you're exactly right when you say the smaller you shrink the amount of time an event is going to take place, the more you open it up to randomness.
Right.
So if you're going to bet a game where you like a favorite, sometimes you come out and it's like, I really like him in the first quarter. But it's only 12 minutes. Something random could happen. Steph could get hit with two whistles early. He comes to the bench. You weren't necessarily capping that. That hurts him in the first. But over the course of 48 minutes, it normalizes and you end up getting your actual result. We got it. We'll jump back into it. Gary St. Jean is brought to you by Lunardi Supermarkets with 8 Bay Area locations. See their specials this week online at Lunardi's.com. Lunardi's, quite simply, the best. Gary St. Jean with us here on 95.7 The Game. Happy Friday, Saint. How you doing?
Great, guys. Happy Friday to you. You know, my friends, they ask me who I'd like in a game, and they've learned over the years to go 180 and take the other team.
Ah, they like to fade you, as we say in the business, Saints.
Yes.
Now, why are you bringing that up? Is that because you thought things would go differently in one of these series?
Well, I was talking to Cody, and I heard you guys talking about at the end there, and I said, they've got to be talking about a little wager here, and it's hysterical, whether it's college or pros. I think I get about 5% right, because I always pick my pals that are the coaches, and they don't have the best team, so I get in trouble.
So you're not always running hot is what you're saying. That's good to know going forward. So if we look at game four then going forward, are you going to then say that you like the Clippers in that one, Saint?
Well, it's only 8:30 in the morning. I haven't had a taste yet, so no. I'm not taking
What did you make of Kevin Durant and the way he showed so much assertiveness in last night's ball game? Is that the KD that we can expect going forward?
Yeah, I'd like to believe so. I mean, I love what Steve Kerr said. He said, "Hey, you know, this is one of the two greatest players we had, two or three in the league, and the scoring ability is magnificent." But I love the way he played defense. He blocked shots. He was engaged. He was smiling. He was interacting with his teammates. I loved what Steve did early, calling some plays for him. They put in a new set that I hadn't seen that ran really well. They had a staggered double screen. He was the first guy, and Bogues was the second guy, and they curled Klay Thompson around the two of them. And then the secondary action was to have KD come off of big Bogues. Well, then you know that Harrell, whoever their big is, Garden Bogut, isn't going to switch out, and he got open shots, and Beverly was non-existent. It was a great performance, but I will tell you this. For me, guys, he was fabulous. The other two guys to me that really stood out were Andre Iguodala and Big Bogues. They were terrific. Two veteran guys who were locked in. Defensively, they were stellar. And the defense was great. And if they defend like that, with that kind of energy, they were flying out at the three-point shooters, sometimes two, better than none. And it was a great performance.
Saint Louis, my question is why? Why is it that everyone says, okay, KD's got to go. KD's got to shoot 20. He's got to shoot 30. And then at times, you know, when you have this many of collections of superstars, last year was KD shooting too much against when they were playing against the Rockets. Do you think as a player, as a person, you're hearing the noise, you listen to the radio, you pick up the paper, you see what's trending, these guys now, and they understand the social media. Don't sometimes as a player, can you see his frustrations, or can you see his point where it's like, okay, I want to move the ball around because everyone says we need to move around. Okay, I want Steph. Okay, I'm being too selfish if I don't take these shots. Is it a hard balancing act for a guy like that on this team with this many superstars?
I think it is, Lo. And today's world, we have this social media, and there's so much on there. We forget these guys are men, and some are sensitive, and they like to read all of this. Some could care less what anybody has to say.
Sure.
They just play, and they love the game. And, you know, Kevin's been talked about that he reads a lot of stuff. On the other side of the coin, I don't think Clay reads anything. And Steph Curry's so busy with his family and his life, I don't think he does either. And so they're all different guys. And Andre Iguodala's like the elder statesman. But at the end of the day, go to your strengths, stay the heck away from your weaknesses. And Kevin Durant is a phenomenal scorer. So we need him to do just what he did last night. Now, he's not going to make as many shots as he did last night, but just be Kevin Durant. That's all. That's all you need to do.
Gary St. Jean with us here on 95.7 The Game. You mentioned Bogut's performance. Kevon Looney was outstanding as well.
Sure.
He is really having a nice series. We were having the discussion this morning. You know, he's headed for unrestricted free agency this summer. The Warriors have his bird rights, but we were trying to get a sense of what the market might look like for him and what he might cost and whether or not the Warriors would be able to financially retain him should they so desire.
Well, that's a great, great question. I hope we have to deal with that come July and that he continues to play like this, because I know you guys and everybody else are so happy for this guy. He's, you know, he had those two hip surgeries, and he wasn't able to really work on his game a lot. He was rehabbing a lot his first couple of years. You know what he has right now, guys? He's got the respect of his teammates and coaches. They really believe in him. He knows his role on this team. Now, that may sound simple, but it is a big thing to know your role as a team strives to win. And I just love a couple shots, a couple jump shots, a couple post moves. But you always know he's going to set good screens. You know,
sure,
he's going to defend well. You know he's going to communicate. Where will he stand in free agency, guys? You know, he's not in the upper tier. Maybe he's going to be a second or third tier guy, but a second or third tier guy could get a heck of a contract. Will the Warriors try to re-sign him? Yeah, I would think they'll do everything they can to keep him.
One guy not expected to re-sign would be Sean Livingston as he gets down to the final couple of maybe months of his career. How much effectiveness can you count on from Sean Livingston, though, between now and possibly the NBA Finals?
You know what's great, guys? It's different. We don't have any back-to-backs. We don't have any 3 and 4, 5 and 7 in terms of games a week. So he's got till Sunday, and from what I read, and I'll tell you guys, let me preface it by saying this, what a great guy. Oh, boy. But I tell you guys, I can't look at his original injury. It's one of the worst I've ever seen. So, you know, you guys know the story, how he bounced around to a lot of teams. And when he was coming out of high school, I mean, he was penciled in as a really, really high pick. Well, I think he's in pain. Just getting ready. Lowell tell you this. Sometimes the body tells you it's time to retire.
Sure.
And it's a struggle for him to get ready for each game. But you know you're going to get intelligent team play from Sean Livingston.
Salem, when last night, Steph gets in a little foul trouble.
Yeah.
And Curry makes the decision not to go with Cook, but he goes more with McKinney. What does he bring you? I saw this guy get a block. What does he bring you? Why did that decision? And how much going forward do you expect him to play?
He's a great role player. You can see him, rebounding. He had 8 boards last night. He's about 6'7" or 6'8", but he's got really long arms and he's quick off his feet and good timing. What I like about him is he's not afraid of the moment. He'll take an open three, knocked one down last night. He's a good, solid defender. So he, in your rotation, if he's your 9th guy or 10th guy, that's a luxury because he's a pro. He's a good person. You talked about Cook. The struggle here is, listen, this guy's making shots. But what happens in the playoffs is they really micromanage and study the other team. And right now, Quinn's got to get better moving his feet defensively on the ball, contain the dribbler. And what they did is they said, hey, when he comes in, we're going to go at him. So a lot of the NBA playoff games are about matchup. You see right now they're trying to go at Steph to get him in trouble. He did get in foul trouble because he reached a couple times. He's got to move his feet like he did in game one and keep those hands vertical instead of reaching in. So a lot of the playoff stuff is matchups.
Gary St. Jean with us here on 95.7 The Game. St., before we let you go, we were having a discussion right before you came on. Obviously, this would never happen because if you take games away, you lose money, and no one wants to do that. But just from an entertainment perspective, do you think maybe it would be better if the NBA was a, in the first round, was a five-game series rather than a seven?
When I started, there were three-game series. So then there's a little bit more heat.
Way back in the day, Saint.
Way, way back in the day. So you can't have any hiccups. The five games are even, a little less heat, but quite a bit of heat. That was all negotiated, you guys know, between the Players Association and the league, because everything got so popular in the playoffs, they could sell the advertising time and the big networks. Whether it's ABC, ESPN, or TNT, they wanted the games. So, you know, like, for example, last night we had one game on NBA TV, and then we had two on TNT. And, you know, probably the best game of the night was on the NBA channel, and that was Denver losing to San Antonio. So at the end of the day, guys, it is a business, and it's about dollars.
Gary St. Jean with Joe Lo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. St., we always appreciate the Friday chats. Have an excellent weekend. We look forward to catching up with you next week.
You know, guys, I'm going to wish you a happy Easter, and I know Dibs will come up short. The Easter Bunny, I don't know. He may have a couple of chocolate eggs, or I don't know. He's not going to have much for Dibs, but you guys are going to get well taken care of.
Yeah, I'm trying to watch those calories anyway, Saint, and I can always just go to Lenardi's if I want to get my chocolate fix anyway. You know that.
Hey, Dibs, I had a turkey burger from there the other day on the grill.
Saint.
Holy moly, it was phenomenal.
So good, Saintly One.
Oh,
so good.
Gosh.
Oh, the bread, the freshest bread in the 925.
Oh, you got it. I like the potato rolls.
Oh.
Those are really good.
You got that right, Saint.
You guys got me fired up. 8:45. Holy mac.
Saint, go have yourself an early lunch. We'll catch up with you next week.
See you guys. Happy Easter.
Make mine a liquid lunch, Saint. I'll meet you there.
Is it as clean sweep in here? Everyone hates Peeps?
Yes. Peeps are a no-go.
Does
Peeps.
Anyone on the show, anyone in the back room, anyone eat Peeps? They're all... It's like somehow, how do those continue to end up in Easter baskets and in
right.
the possession of people who want to have candy around the world?
I liked it as a kid, but as a grown-up, it just,
split down the middle.
Yeah. Well, as a kid, taste buds change.
You got top rope. Top rope.
Top rope. You got top rope.
But would that not be the quintessential answer from you, that at one point
wow.
you liked it,
yeah,
and at one point you didn't?
When I was a kid.
It's fair.
Of course,
it's
marshmallows
with
sugar.
So it was a yes and no. So it's a flip. Yeah, you're right, Joe.
It's an on-brand answer. There's nothing wrong with it. It's an on-brand answer. It just has to be.
It's a fish and chips Friday. We're serving flounder today, apparently.
Yeehaw! Get my tartar sauce ready.
Phil Collins tickets to give away in just a few minutes.
Good morning,
Nana. God, Saint, in an era where there were three-game series. I don't even remember that. Did you remember? I mean,
it's before
you've been
my time.
Since Naismith.
Yeah, I remember the peach basket. You just played first one to throw it in the basket wins. You didn't even have a clock, you know? You had to get the ladder out and get the ball out of the peach basket for crying out loud.
The Chilton Auto Body text line had a suggestion. Keep it a 7-game series, but if a team gets up 3-0 in the opening round, it's done. Mercy rule.
That's not a best of seven, then. That's the very definition of a best of five.
But you can keep it as that situation. You keep the seven, but if you get to the motorboating, it kind of solves both issues. Because, for example, I don't want Milwaukee and Detroit playing any more games. I'm done with that series. It's over. Detroit has gotten railroaded twice. Nothing's going to change. Maybe they shrink the margin to single digits. Who knows? But Detroit stinks. Enough's enough. Get them out of there. Let Milwaukee advance. Now, for the other teams that have caused themselves some problems, sure. But if Portland goes to OKC and wins tonight, get OKC out of there. You're done. I don't need any more of this.
You know what?
It's the first round, too. I'm not saying this for the other rounds. Just the first round.
You know what? I would be okay with if you got the three and if you don't win, that one's over. But it's got to be anyone you lose after that's over. You know what I'm saying? So it's still the same. It's seven. So, I mean, well, then it would become what? Five or six? Because if you lose a game after that, so say you win the first three, and then the texter said, now you win that the losing team end up winning one. So that's four. If the losing team wins another one, that take it to five. But any game, well, that's still it's kind of the next loss. So
you're really taking yourself through it right now, aren't you?
Yeah, it's. I don't know. So it should be five. Leave it at five.
I'm watching the hamster spit on the wheel.
Give him some more rope. Let's see where this goes.
No, it's
see
over.
If he, you know,
nah,
might make himself a cargo net.
He might even tie himself into a black hole.
You're right. Cut it to five. Leave it alone.
How about just nothing? Just get rid of sports in general.
Just get rid of it.
That's it. If you're down by 31 points, you automatically lose that game on the spot because no team will. Actually, one team has come back, so we got to scrap that as well. Just play best of seven. Best of seven.
I just don't think we need it in the first round. And then people think, well, it's for the 4-5 series. Sure, okay. The closely matched up series, sure. But, I mean, damn. If the Warriors go out and bite the Clippers again on Sunday, do we need another one of those games?
It's all about attrition, and it's all about the long haul. If you can handle your business in four, then you earn the additional days off, and you get the benefit down the road. If you can't handle it in four, if you donk one off like the Warriors did to the Clippers, and you have to go five, if Houston wraps it up in four, now they have themselves an advantage because they handled their business better than you did. So it's not necessarily about the minutia of just one extra meaningless game. It's about the long haul. Teams that handle their business don't have to play as often.
It's a good point. Good point. Let's open up the phones. Are we doing the contest line here? Boom. Contest line. All right. Callers 6 and 7 in honor of a 7-game series. 6 and 7 to 844-999-GAME. 844-999-GAME. We have two pairs of tickets to see Phil Collins Thursday, October 17th at Chase Center. Tickets are on sale now at LiveNation.com. That is LiveNation.com. 844-999-GAME. 844-999-GAME. Callers 6 and 7 win the tickets. If Reza is out there, Reza, we want you to call us in an hour at 945 for today's installment of Bet 162. Yesterday, I was on such a bad losing streak that I said a caller was going to make the pick. Reza came on, asked a bunch of questions, wanted to do a parlay. I kicked him off the air, made my own pick. Now, the pick won, but Reza very quietly, his parlay hit as well. So we want to bring him back on the program, give us another pick for tonight against the Pirates. The number for you is 888-957-9570. 1 hour from now, if you know Reza, tell him we want him to call the show today at 945. 888-957-9570. Where are we at on who's going to emerge from the East? Obviously, still very early. I am completely against your Philadelphia pick. I don't think they're getting there. Too much drama, too much inconsistency, too much BS. They're caught up in just too much. So I got it down to Toronto and Milwaukee. I don't trust Boston. I know they're hammering the Pacers. I got Toronto and Milwaukee. That's what I'm trying to figure out right now.
Let's not put words in my mouth. You're starting to act a little bit like Daniel here. I've never said...
You didn't need to drag me into this.
I did.
You're gonna take something up with Joe. Take it up with Joe. Don't try to disparage me along the way. How soft is that?
Oh, I don't know if it's soft.
Soft, like a peep.
Joe, let me tell you something.
Melted peep.
Don't put words necessarily in my mouth. I said the best team that matches up against the Dubs is the Philadelphia 76ers. I didn't say that they were coming out of the East. So
then
you
who was your pick?
My pick, always, if you look at it, Dibs was on Boston, and I had Toronto. We got it all marked down.
All right,
down.
Fine. I'm not.
No, I was just.
I remember there's so much Philadelphia talk. Sorry, I got caught up in Philadelphia.
I said Philadelphia matches up better to me with the Warriors. I said if you look at the way they play Philadelphia, me and Dibs had this draft, and we looked at it, and I said Philadelphia, they play them well. They beat them twice, so I did like Philadelphia, the matchup. But far as just coming out of the East, I still think it's I like Toronto. I'm going to say my original pick, Toronto, but Milwaukee Bucks are playing great.
All right, you're with Toronto. Where are you at right
now? It's a classic low right there. He talks about how Philadelphia matches up well, and then he gives Toronto, and then he drops his butt, the big butt at the end. So
he's got the three best teams
in
the East.
Yeah, your bases are covered. That was really convenient of the way you kind of went around the horn.
Check the tape.
They didn't mark the tape,
Coach. You said, I'm telling you right now, you said the Boston.
And I stay with Boston. See, what I do, even though it's a fish and chips Friday, and you're serving up flounder over there, I think that Boston still is the team that comes out, Joe. I think that Boston, even losing Marcus Smart.
Even if you're allowed to move off the position, you still like that.
Yes, I refuse to move off my position on a fish and chips Friday.
That's fine.
I don't want to be accused of being flounder or cod or filet of sole. I'm riding with Boston. I think that they're showing you against Indiana that they're more than just Marcus Smart. They can play different ways against different teams. I'm staying with Boston. I'm not going to drop a butt at the end or praise another team, and that way I got three of the four.
No.
It's Boston.
Toronto's.
You did do a nice job with that because if Philly gets there, I told you all along they're the worst matchup for the for the Warriors. Yeah, but you didn't pick up. Check the tape. I said they were the best matchup for the Warriors. Check the tape. I said that. You'd have a great career
y'all
in politics.
Rough. Y'all rough.
Why don't you just run for office already?
That's a great move, actually. Mm-hmm.
From the 518 my text line, I thought Reza was lifetime banned from the station. He was. It's lifetime ban has been lifted. Reza, lifetime ban's lifted.
Cuba!
We'd love to hear from him. You can't go to Cuba anymore. Trump shut that down. Bonte and his girlfriend went on vacation last year. They got it in. That's done. Government shut that down.
That's
no more
it?
Going to Cuba. Everyone looking at me with wide eyes. Anyone read a newspaper around these parts besides Clay Thompson?
Newspaper. Only when Michael Urban fills in because he brings the newspaper. Other than that, I don't read the newspaper.
Clay Thompson reads the newspaper.
Yeah. Yeah. No more Cuba visits.
That's awful.
Yeah.
That's horrible.
That
although you can, fun fact, you can now sue for the property that you, if you're still alive, which you probably aren't, or your ancestors owned in Cuba prior to the embargo going all the way back to, I want to say, the 50s, 60s. I'm not 100% positive, but you can now sue them for that property. So imagine this. This is what the government's telling you now. You can sue Cuba. Hey, that was our property 80 years ago. We want it back. And then the court could say, yeah, it's yours. And then what?
You can't go there and claim it.
Cuba's just going to give it to you? Are they going to FedEx it?
They're going to say, yeah, come show up and claim it. You
those
can't get here.
Just my fun political facts for the day, because I know everyone always loves to talk politics on a Friday. Figured I'd throw that out there. So, yeah, we're not going to Cuba. No one's going to Cuba.
Oh. What
maybe
else
the Bahamas,
you got?
Though.
Yeah. What else you want to shout out? Joe will have a fact about it or a news item surrounding
it. I'll find a way to make it much less fun.
Right. Barbados!
That's what I do.
Ooh, great place.
Guys, what do you think about getting burritos after this? Well, funny story about burritos. 10 times more likely to have a heart attack if you eat burritos once a week.
Man.
okay.
God, let's go get that. Wow.
Go get that Burger King fake burger that they got going on right now.
Super I keep burger. Driving by that Senior Sig's truck down there, too, thinking about getting burritos, but I guess it's off the table.
It's killer. It's fantastic. Literally, figuratively.
Were you talking about the Impossible Burger?
Yeah.
Was that April Fool's joke, or is that legit?
No, that's at Burger King.
Oh, nice to know.
Yeah, the Impossible Whopper, I think they call it. Are you going to go get it?
I do like the Impossible Burger. It's really good, actually.
Are you going to go get it?
I might now.
Might.
Yeah.
Might. I could get it, but I also could not get it, so I'm not sure. I
welcome
like
back,
it,
Anna. Was that the flipper?
Yeah.
It's a Fish of the Day
it's
Friday.
Friday.
Fish and Chips Friday. We got Wu-Tang Wednesday. We got a Flounder Friday. Fish and chips being served all day.
Everything's up for grabs. I mean, we're going to have everything named and sold at some point to where we're never actually going to have to do any real content. We're just going to do reads and bits the whole way through, and that's going
to
be the end of
that
it.
That segment brought to you by Long John Silver. Fish and Chip Friday, $10.99. Don't miss it.
I'm Tim claiming that one.
Try the Flounder.
Tim Roy coming up at 9:35. All right, so we did those reads. I think we're all laughing because we're all feeling a lot better. There was that situation where, you know, you come off the loss and you start to think, are they ripping apart at the seams? Is there drama? Like, really, the emotional spectrum they put you through, it's just two gears, high and low, arrogance and chaos. That's it. Like, right now, if you're Orlando, for example, it's 1-1. It's coming over game three. You're feeling pretty good. But if it doesn't work out, hey, you got one from the Raptors. You're moving in the right direction. If you're the Pacers, well, we're down 0-2, but we had them in the second game. We blew it. Maybe we hold home court. Either way, Oladipo comes back
right.
next season. We're feeling pretty good. Outside of Oklahoma City, everyone's feeling the Jazz, too. Bad situation for them.
And Denver, too, which is a little bit unsightly.
Talk about frauds. How big a frauds are the Denver Nuggets? What a waste of time. Oh, do you have to get the one seed from Denver? Who cares? Get out of the playoffs.
Remember
you
that?
Stink. They are. They can play a little bit at home. They clearly can't play on the road. Now they're going to let the Spurs advance. They're done. What a wasted season for them. They're done. Cook them. It's over. Send it to Old Takes Exposed. They're done. So now it's going to be the Spurs advancing, which means if you got Spurs Blazers, let's go two series down the road. Spurs Blazers, who do you want to see win that to face the Warriors in the finals, assuming the Warriors continue to handle business here and then against Houston?
You still would rather play Portland. I think that the Greg Popovich factor, and you look at what San Antonio has done to their team, and that's why I was asking Mike Breen earlier about whether or not we're sleeping on the Spurs, and he said, of course we are, because you forget that guys like Derek White, who had 36, by the way, yesterday.
He's a nobody.
He had 36, coach. The guy can play.
He's going to be their next big, hey, we found this guy.
Rudy Gay.
Rudy Gay.
He mentioned DeJounte Murray, who's not even playing.
Rudy Gay. You can
Patty Mills still contributing. Patty. Marco Bellinelli, former Warrior. And, oh, by the way, LaMarcus Aldridge still doing it. DeMar DeRozan's legit.
Ginobili's not still playing, is he?
No, I said Bellinelli.
Yeah, but I'm asking.
Oh, no,
I'm
no, no,
asking.
Ginobili.
He's done. All, yes. The big three are all finally gone.
Yes, all gone. But the way they've remade the team with Davis Bertans, and they have good depth pieces. And, oh, by the way, the coaching matchup would favor San Antonio head-to-head against Golden State. There's no two ways about that.
Are you picking? So you're saying you'd rather see
you'd
the
rather
Blazers
face Portland
because it's a better path to the finals.
Better travel, better path. The team's not as good. Coach isn't as good.
Entertainment value, same thing. Would you go with them as well?
I think Portland's more entertaining. It'd be a more entertaining series than San Antonio. I think personally, the Aldridge turnaround jumper, that would get old for me after
down in the low block. Down
yeah,
there.
You can already
Skin
close your
half court offense. Try to set up a
yes.
play.
You can close your eyes and picture it. It's a nice shot, and he's a great player, but it's not as exciting as Dame from 32 feet.
He's been outstanding. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd rather see Portland because I think I'm on that. I'm in the majority. I don't know if it's majority or minority, but I feel that he has the same type of sphere of influence on the game as James Harden, meaning that James Harden has to do so much, and we are hoping that James Harden wears out and tires because of the fact he's such a prolific scorer. I think Dame is almost in that same situation because he has a lot of pressure on him to really carry that team because they lost their big man. I think that you'd rather see him because of the fact he has to carry the load as well. So with me, it'd be Portland as well.
San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich had a great – I'm going to be with Portland too. I want to throw that out there because if the Warriors somehow would lose, good for Dame. I'd rather see Dame and the Blazers in the finals, and that would be easy to stomach, right? Like if you lose to Houston, you can't stomach
oh,
that.
Boy.
You don't want to stomach that at all. You lose to the Blazers and they go on. You're disappointed, but it's like, all right, I'll watch Dame in the finals. I'll root for him in the Blazers. That's a fun
But there's
story.
The Barkley angle now too, though, because Barkley said Fine. That Portland's going to win the West, and so you hate to see Charles Barkley be right.
I'll tune in, though, to see him go nuts. And then then they show the video of him and Shaq fighting. It's all great.
Oh, that's great.
It's all great. I can't get enough of that show. Trivia question. Greg Popovich had this great, great interview the other day where he was talking about stuff outside of basketball. You know, basketball is not his legacy. Food and wine is his legacy. And he was kind of half joking, but he's talking about family and life and separating business and basketball from who he is as a person. He's trying to make the case that there's more to life than that. He has an interesting nugget in there, and this is the trivia question. He has a number that he thinks is the ideal number for a dinner party conversation. So if you're sitting at a table, how many people is the ideal number of people for a dinner party conversation? So imagine this would be the number of people sitting around the table, eating dinner and conversing with one another. He has a reason for it, but he offers the number. I found it fascinating. I figure it's Friday. I'll throw it out there for you to guess.
I think the correct answer would be 8, and I have rationale behind it, but I'll wait for your answer to give such rationale.
I appreciate that.
I'm going to go with 7. For some reason, that just jumped out at me.
An odd number.
Yeah,
literally an odd number.
Which means one exactly. of the couples is there without a significant other. Okay.
Somebody's third wheeling it, or maybe they're swingers.
Interesting. I like that one.
Could make an interesting
Believe it
party.
Or not, 7 is how many days it took God to create this earth, 6.
And he took
day,
off the seventh day.
Seventh day he rested.
Yeah.
And 5 is grace. And that's what the 5 would be grace. So I'm going to go with 5. I think he would
Another
go with 5.
Number.
Another odd number.
Interesting. As I make it clear the odd number is not the right answer, you come right back with an odd number.
I would think that the coach would think that because one person would be kind of dictating the conversation as the other 4 would be engaged. So I was thinking that was my reason behind it.
This doesn't mean it's right. This is just Popovich's answer. His answer is 6.
Mm.
He says 6 people is just enough people to have a wide variety of opinions and diverse viewpoints while also small enough to prevent side conversations from splitting off from the group. You know, if you're at a table with 12 people, this end of the table is having conversations this end. 6 is what he feels is the ideal conversation.
Fill me in, Anna. We had it surrounded, Anna.
You guys were all over it. 5, 7, and 8. 5, 7, and 8. Here come the dice. 33-6.
Yeah.
Old Larry Bird, 33.
Tim Roy will join us. We got to talk. Kevin Durant, what's next for the Warriors? Your calls as well. Fortin Ball Friday. Not actually happening anymore. I was thinking about that. Making my return to Damon Brewster's show. Yeah, subconsciously, that just popped up. I was thinking about just walking in there, throwing hot takes around, and leaving. Nah, pass. 95-7 the game.
Kevin Durant and the Warriors dominated the Clippers in Game 3.
Launches for 3. Got that one. Oh, no, yeah. Kevin Durant's having a whale of a night.
Joe Lo and Dibs break it down with the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy, at 9:30. Don't miss Warriors Insider Monty Poole on the Damon Bruce Show at 4 on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7. The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.